Well, I moved from that table to this table, and do you see the similarities between the two? This was our conversation last week as Pastor Adam introduced us to this new sermon series, Worship Rhythms. Last week we discovered the very first of the Jewish feast, the Feast of Passover. And so it is. The Israelites, it's a reminder of what deliverance that they had as they came out of the land of Egypt. Deliverance. You see, they were protected from the death of the firstborn. And how were they protected? They were protected because they trusted God's command. They obeyed His command. There was only one way. And that way that was provided for them was the death of their lamb. And as Pastor Adam mentioned last week, Yorkie here would have been a lamb that they knew. And they had grown fond of Yorkie. And yet this is the lamb. By the way, you won't find the name Yorkie in the scriptures, right? That's his creative touch to help us understand that this cost the family something to have their lamb sacrificed, the blood poured out of that lamb. And then the plant, the hyssop, took the blood and applied it to their door post and the lintel around. And that night, can you imagine the outcry, the grief? As tens of thousands grieved, they felt the pain of the loss of the firstborn creatures and the firstborn people and family members. Can you imagine the magnitude of the grief that they experienced? And it was that grief that finally caused Pharaoh and the Egyptians to say, "Go, go." They had been enslaved in Egypt for 400 years, and the Passover feast was established by the Lord. So His people, God's people, would never forget His faithfulness in miraculously delivering and protecting them. And so it was last week in the Feast of the Passover, we saw this symbolic detail in the Passover menu, each part. The lamb, of course, the bitter herbs, and the unleavened bread. Now, you just had a bit of unleavened bread, but here's a bigger piece. Each part in that menu was symbolic and meant something and reminded them of the deliverance that was given to them. And it reminded them and that pointed them to the great and awesome God. That's what this feast was about, the Passover feast. Well, today we turn to the next feast, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And you can take your Bibles and you can see it for yourself, and we'll read the text when we go to Exodus chapter 12 together. Exodus chapter 12. You see, this festival started with the Passover meal, and this festival of unleavened bread continued for 7 days and ended with another feast. And understanding this feast of the unleavened bread is more than a Jewish history lesson. I don't know very much about all of these things, and this was a good study for me, but what I have discovered that there is significance for us. This brief overview today helps us better praise the one who is worthy of all of our worship. You see, though we as New Testament believers aren't commanded to keep this festival, like the Feast of Passover, this feast of unleavened bread is an impactful reminder of the Lamb who had delivered us up from the judgment of God, and we're cleansed through this substitute. And we are freed to live our lives free of sin. And we can now live for righteousness. So we can truly then worship. But we must understand, that God's perfect Lamb enables us to live leavened, free lives. And that's the message for today. And we probably ought to pause and acknowledge, because we ought to pray, asking God to reveal truth to us, realizing that all too often we are deceived and we don't even recognize the darkness in our own hearts. And so it is with that in mind, I ask, Father, that we might be like the disciples of John the Baptist. John the Baptist said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." Would you make us like those disciples of John who looked to Jesus? Who looked to Jesus as the one who delivers us, makes us right with yourself. Thank you for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. So, as the name indicates, this feast of unleavened bread called for clean bread. Clean bread. Now, what do I mean by that? Well, this bread that is a part of this feast is unleavened, and it reminded the Jewish nation of their freedom from Egypt. And we're going to read about this now. Are you there? In Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 14. We're kind of picking up where Pastor Adam left off last week. In verse 14, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. On the first day you shall remove leaven out of your houses. For if anyone eats what is leavened from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. And on the first day you shall hold a holy assembly. And on the seventh day a holy assembly. No work shall be done on those days, but what everyone needs to eat, that alone may be prepared by you. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this very day I brought your host out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as a statute forever. In the first month, from the 14th day of the month at evening, you shall eat unleavened bread until the 21st day of the month at evening. For 7 days, no leaven is to be found in your homes. If anyone eats what is leavened, that person will be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he is a sojourner or a native of that land or of the land. You shall eat nothing leavened in all your dwelling places. You shall eat unleavened bread." There you have it. This is a mandate, an Old Testament mandate for the Jewish nation, as we've just read. And notice there's a repeated theme of 7 days. For 7 days, eat unleavened bread. It's repeated several times. Each time this Passover feast and this unleavened bread feast were participated in, they were remembering back to the night of the death of the firstborn, when they were commanded to be ready. And as we saw last week, Pastor Adam pointed out last week that they were dressed and they had their staff in their hand. They were ready to go when the death of the firstborn happened. They were ready to go. They were commanded to be ready and to depart Egypt in an urgent manner. They wouldn't have time to let their bread with yeast raise. Therefore, they were to eat, quote, fast food. Fast food. Bread without yeast. And I've got it right here. So if I hold up some unleavened bread there, and I hold up this bread with yeast, which one do you want? I had one of these for breakfast this morning. I put raspberry jelly on it, and it wasn't this one. It was this one. And there's a reason for that. Which one would you rather have? Well, it takes time for this one, so I'm told. I'm not a cook, but I'm told that this was made just real fast, like just in a matter of minutes. But this one takes a little longer to make, and so it is. That's the difference between the bread with yeast or leaven and the unleavened bread. There's a difference there. There's a difference. And so it is. This was a reminder of their urgent departure from Egypt. For 7 days, they were only to eat unleavened bread. And by the way, did you notice that it's not just eat, but they weren't even supposed to have leaven in the house for 7 days? No, nothing with yeast in the house. No yeast in the house. They were to avoid that temptation all around. So when the Jewish children said, "But Mom, I don't want that flat bread. I want the good stuff." Well, they can nag, they can whine all they want. But Mom said, "I don't have any." Right? And so it was totally, their home was totally leaven-free. This is the urgent call to stay far from leaven. Obedience to this was a big deal, such a big deal that you might have noticed there's a repeated phrase in there that if anybody eats leaven or has leaven in their house, cast them out. Don't even let them be a part of God's children. This was a big deal. It was a big deal. Why was this a big deal? Well, this mandate wasn't just to make life miserable that you had to eat that flat bread. It wasn't just that. This mandate was a big deal because it was a reminder of God's deliverance. The Lord wanted us to remember His deliverance because we're so easy to forget His deliverance. So this was an active, for 7 days, a reminder of their urgent departure from Egypt. Matter of fact, you saw it in verse 14 where it says, "This day shall be a memorial day," a memorial day, a reminder, "and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, a statute forever." God's command to the nation of Israel was to keep this feast as an ongoing festival, feast. He wanted them to remember His faithfulness. And by the way, notice it says, "I brought your host out of the land of Egypt." This amazing deliverance was not just from the land of Egypt, but from the slavery of the Egyptians. This was amazing. This was a significant thing. Now, we're not going to go there, but in the next chapter, chapter 13, it actually uses this phrase. "For you're supposed to tell your son that on that day, the day of the death of the firstborn, it's because of what the Lord did for me. We as a people were delivered from this death." It was significant. It was an amazing deliverance from death and from slavery. That's what this is all about. And in chapter 13 it says, "For it was with the strong hand of the Lord that you were brought out of Egypt." It was the strong hand of the Lord. He gets all the credit. He gets all the credit for their deliverance from slavery out of the land of Egypt. It's not the work of the Israelites. It's not their good army or their ability to fight battle, but it was God that delivered them. It was the strong hand of the Lord. And this feast was a reminder that God is the one who deserves all the glory and the praise for their deliverance. And this feast of unleavened bread, unleavened bread reminded them that God's amazing and urgent deliverance. But it didn't just, this feast doesn't just look forward. This feast also looks forward to a sacrifice that's much greater than this little Passover lamb. Something much greater. Because the Feast of Unleavened Bread points forward. Now, the Israelites didn't know this like we know it today. But this feast, as we've already mentioned at that table, this Feast of Unleavened Bread points forward to the perfect man. The perfect man. The perfect sacrifice. You see, the bread without leaven reminds us of the only man, the only sacrifice that was without sin. In all of history, there have been attempts to provide a spotless lamb, totally pure lamb to cover sin, but none were found. Even Yorkie's not perfect. He's got a lot of flaws, and that would have been true of all the lambs. And therefore, because there was no pure lamb, those sacrifices continued year after year after year, and they were inadequate to cover all of the sin of all of mankind. But the sacrifice of the Passover lamb, the Passover feast, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread pointed forward to the Lamb of God that was able to take away the sin of the world, the perfect Savior, Jesus. You see, their departure from Egypt came from a Passover lamb, but again, that had to be repeated. But Jesus was without any blemish. As it tells us in 1 Corinthians 5, 2 Corinthians 5, "For our sake, He, God, made Him, Jesus, to be sin, who knew no sin." Jesus did not sin. "So that in Him we might become the righteousness of God." It's through Jesus that was without blemish that we're made right in God's sight. And Jesus delivered us through His broken body and His shed blood. And that's what that table was about. That's what that table was about. And this table really was pointing forward to that table. See how it's all connected? Jesus, without blemish. Jesus delivered us through His broken body that had no leaven, no sin. And He shed His blood. That's the symbolism of the communion elements. And that's why our monthly remembrance of the Lord's table is so significant and must be taken seriously. We do it traditionally here at Shawnee once a month, first Sunday of the month, and that's a special day. It's a special time that we set aside all the other distractions and we remember our Lord's broken body and His shed blood. And this table looks further back to that table, unleavened bread. And just to say it again, repeating myself on purpose, that our Lord Jesus is without sin. Can you imagine that? Totally pure. No sinful imperfection. Nothing. Though tempted, He never gave in to those temptations. He was absolutely perfect. The perfect man. And therefore, He was able to die as my substitute. And not only my substitute, but your substitute and your substitute and your substitute. Each one of us, he was able to die for because he was without blemish. The perfect man died on our behalf. And therefore, we can become the righteousness of God. We can become the righteousness of God. You see, the Feast of Unleavened Bread helps us understand that we can have pure hearts, free of sin's penalty. Did you know that all sin must be judged? All sin must be judged. The wages of sin is death. As a matter of fact, Romans chapter 3 says, "For everyone has sinned, we all have fallen short of God's glory." You've probably heard that. And we're all like the bread with leaven. There's sin in us, and it's throughout us, much like yeast kind of goes throughout the whole loaf. That's us. But Jesus had no sin. Had no sin, as we've already said. And so it is. We deserve the wages of sin. Jesus didn't. And the punishment, the wrath of God was poured out on Jesus. And yet, Romans chapter 3 goes on to say, reading out of the New Living Translation, "Yet God in His grace freely makes us right in His sight. He did this through Christ Jesus when He freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for sin." People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed His life, shedding His blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when He held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for He was looking ahead and including them in what He would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate His righteousness, for He Himself is fair and just and makes sinners right in His sight when they believe in Jesus. Aren't you thankful for our Lord Jesus who died for us? And might I add that aren't you thankful that our Lord Jesus died for our sister Vicki Johnson? Who, we can't even fathom this, but who is now in His presence. We can't even fathom that, can we? But we believe that. And the reason she's able to be there is because she trusted in Christ Jesus as her Savior. He was her substitute, taking upon Himself all of God's wrath so Vicki and so us might be one day in His presence. Now that's a big thought. I am thankful for the Lord Jesus. And I'm also thankful not that just that He has given me a pure heart free of sin's penalty, but I'm thankful for Jesus that He's given me clean hands, free from sin's power. You see, this text, we're talking about this leaven, but in 1 Corinthians 5, it says this, "Your boasting is not good." What was happening in the Corinthian church, they were allowing a member to continue in sin. He didn't have clean hands. He didn't have clean hands. And this, the text tells us, "Your boasting is not good." They were allowing him to continue in his sin. "For you do not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump." This man's sin was affecting the whole congregation, all of God's people. And we're told to cleanse out the old leaven that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. Let us therefore celebrate the festival, not with the old leaven, the leaven of malice and evil, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Because of Jesus' sacrifice, we are able to have clean hands, free of sin's power over us. That's the context of this passage. And it's true that if we've placed our trust in the Lord Jesus, we have been enabled to be purified. We don't have to allow sin to control us. We need to put those off, much like the Corinthian church should have put that man out. And they eventually did. They eventually did. And so it is with us. We need to put sin off. We have that ability. We are no longer slaves to sin's power over us. We no longer need to be ruled by debilitating emotional thoughts or overwhelming lustful passions or all-consuming anxious feelings or explosive angry outbursts. We don't have to let those things control us. You see, we can no longer say the devil made me do it, because we are free to use our hands and our lives for righteousness. And that's because Christ Jesus paid for our sin. And when we trust Him, He gives us His Spirit living within us. Greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. We can have victory over sin. We can live intentionally, avoiding sinful influences. And instead, we can incorporate godly influences. We can put on righteousness so we can have clean hands, freed from sin's power. And I need to pause and just say, there might be someone in the room that you feel like a slave to sin. You feel like there's no way I can overcome this. I've tried this, I've tried that. I am addicted. I am enslaved. And if that's you today, I just need to pause and say, call out to the Lord. Call out to God for help. And then call out to the people around you who know God, the people who love God. And we'd like to help you and try to encourage you to be free, because you have that ability because of Jesus, to be free of sin's enslaving power. It should not overcome you like that. All this is good news, that we have been freed from sin's penalty, and we have been freed from sin's power, but maybe the best news of all today is that we have a sure hope that one day we will be freed from sin's presence. Now, we don't know that today. I don't know about you, but I woke up and I wasn't thinking about you. I was thinking about me. Oh, I don't want to get up. That's how we live. Sin still remains within me. Yeah, the Spirit of God is there, but there's still this indwelling, sinful nature in me. And I long for the day when I'm freed from it. And that is not just wishful thinking. That is a sure hope that we will one day be freed from sin's presence. The Scriptures tell us in Romans 8, once again reading from the New Living Translation, that yet what we suffer now is nothing compared to the glory He will reveal to us later. For all creation is waiting eagerly for that future day when God will reveal who His children really are. And let me read on to verse 21. The creation looks forward to the day when it will join God's children in glorious freedom from death and decay. For we know that all creation has been groaning as in the pains of childbirth right up to this present time. And we believers also groan. We are groaning, even though we have the Holy Spirit within us, as a foretaste of future glory. We long for our bodies to be released from sin and suffering. That's what our hope is, that we will one day be freed from sin and suffering and death. Is that good news or what? Is that good news or what? That sure hope. It's the hope that we look forward to. And it's the hope that our sister Vicki Johnson has in some ways already experiencing. Isn't that a joy to think about? Yeah. Well, I need to leave you with this thought. Do you have a clean, pure heart today? Have you trusted in Christ as the one who makes you free from sin's penalty? Do you have clean hands that are free from sin's power? Or do you feel still enslaved by sin? And do you have this sure hope that one day we will be freed from sin's presence forevermore? That's what I want to leave you with. You see, this is the bright and certain message that we get from the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that God's perfect Lamb enables us to live leaven-free lives so that we may truly worship the only one who is worthy of all of our worship. Now, as we close in singing, we're just going to bow our heads, and we're going to be singing a song, One Pure and Holy Passion, One Magnificent Obsession, One Glorious Ambition. And what is it? It's to know and follow hard after Him. Let me pray as our music team comes to lead us in that song, because we need to know and follow hard after You, O Lord, because apart from You, we are hopelessly lost. But because of You and Your grace poured out on our behalf, we have incredible hope and joy. Would You remind us of this truth even as we leave this place? May we give ourselves to following hard after You. In Jesus' name, amen. As we sing,